Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey everybody, it's Michael Steele here. Now, I know you're waiting for the next big episode of the Michael Steele Podcast, but in the meantime, give a listen to this Michael Steele Podcast Quick Take.
Welcome back to the Rick Unger Show. It is a Wednesday edition and one of our favorite Wednesdays because we are joined by our friend Michael Steele, the chairman, one-time chairman of the RNC, one-time Maryland lieutenant governor, current MSNBC analyst, currently the host of the Michael Steele Podcast. And we've just touched on a few things, taking up the time of Michael Steele. Michael, listen, at the end of the last segment in the last half hour, I had to kind of cut us off because we were up against a hard break. I want to give you a chance to, you were making the point that it's not always fair to compare the tax rates paid by very wealthy people to people who might be working more regular jobs. And I wanted to give you a chance to finish that comment.
Yeah, in one sense, it speaks to the inequity in the code itself, how the code is written greater benefit of the wealthy. So the owner of the Clippers, not only does he have the ability to write off the expense of the arena in which they play and everything related to that expense.
Right.
He also gets to write off the expense of his players. So you're looking at, LeBron James played whatever. The owner of the team gets to write off that salary as well.
Sure.
So whereas the vendor, the hot dog vendor, he's got his stand, he's got his hot dogs, it's not comparatively the same. So the code allows for them both to write off their expenses, is that one has a greater weight of expenses than the other.
Yeah, I think one of the things that's bothering people, though, let's use the example of that professional ball club. You know, the way that this is done is you are amortizing and writing down the value of your assets as the years go on. The problem is, you and I both know that that basketball team is not losing value with every year. That basketball team is dramatically gaining value every year. So it really ends up becoming an opportunity for wealthy people to reduce their taxes. I guess you can argue, when they eventually sell the team, their basis will be reduced. They'll end up paying more taxes then. But in the meantime, they're getting some pretty healthy breaks.
They are. I mean, look, as I said, it is an inequity in the system. So the question is, how do you fix that? How do you, to your point, tax value that's not been realized?
Right.
You can't.
No, you're right.
I can't say, your team was worth $1 billion to last year and is now worth $1.2 billion. I'm going to tax you on $200 million. I haven't realized that.
No, that's
value on a piece of paper.
It's fair. Now, you're absolutely right. It's just, I think it eats at people when they see that we have these human infrastructure needs, which probably should be largely paid for by increasing taxes on our wealthiest people, people earning over $400,000. And then you see a story like this. But I do take your points because they're correct.
So I've always been a big fan of the flat tax. I've been a big fan of a lot of different tax reforms that get at maximizing the amount of money that comes into the coffers of the federal government so that we don't have to necessarily tax the middle class the way we do. The middle class and certainly the working class in America pay a significant amount of that ongoing federal burden,
So true.
And so we've got to reevaluate that. You know, the president mentioned, I believe earlier today or yesterday, that, you know, they want to be able to, in order to pay for this $3.2 trillion in social spending, they want to be able to actually go after, and we've heard this so many times, all the revenue that's sitting on the table and on the floor that the IRS doesn't go after and collect. So there are a lot of different ways in which you can hold these big companies and these wealthy people accountable, pare back the amount of breaks that they get, pare back on the write-offs, and make it much more in line with it on a percentage basis with what that vendor has to pay. Because at the end of the day, that vendor is paying 28%, and you're paying 15%. There's a lot of gap there that can be closed.
Fair enough. Anybody who might just be joining, we are talking with Michael Steele, former chair of the RNC, and of course, currently an MSNBC analyst and the host of the Michael Steele podcast. Michael, you brought up a topic earlier that, again, is important in the news today, so I think we ought to cover it, and that is inflation. We did see another jump in inflation in the past month. Now, the question very much is this a temporary situation or a more permanent situation? The chairman of the Federal Reserve commented on it today. He suggests that it is a temporary situation, very much the result of shortages and other aspects of the economy coming back to life following the COVID-19 experience. I will tell you that I am inclined to agree with him on this one. I think it is a temporary inflationary period. What's your take on it?
I think it is temporary, but I look, at the end of the day, you're spending dollars, and if you're not prepared to pay for those dollars that are being spent, you will at some point. You're either going to pay for it through inflation, or you're going to pay for it through other ways. And so I do agree that this inflationary effect is temporary. But then I sit back and I go, but Rick, we were talking about inflation in 2019, before COVID. There were economists who were concerned.
Well, they were concerned, but it wasn't really happening.
That's not necessarily. There were small pockets of inflation that were starting to rear its head in the third and fourth quarters of 2019, that didn't make a lot of noise and didn't get a lot of headlines because the economy was booming, right? It was roaring. It was strong. So it's kind of dominated that particular narrative. So I see what the feds are saying, and I agree with the chairman that it's temporary. I just don't know how temporary.
Yeah, no, that's probably a sensible point of view. Look, we have gone an extraordinarily long period of time without inflation really being a part of our reality. And
we spend a lot of money.
Yeah, and there is a part of any sensible thinker who's going to go, this can't go on forever. So when you do see signs of it, it's probably not unreasonable to have at least one eye open to the fact that it could be something that could be longer lasting. I think the reason I am disinclined to see it is you look at the unusual conditions. You look at the shortages in the chip market, which has, you know, made it impossible to find new cars to buy, which is pushing up the price of used cars. You look at the problems that are increasing the cost of delivering food and other staples to the supermarket, and that's causing those prices to go up. These are all things that we know or we believe are likely to level out. I think what you're saying, and it's worth noting, I have to say, is that even after the leveling out occurs, which we all anticipate would probably be sometime near the end of this year, that doesn't mean we aren't going to be left with a measure of inflation. Is that a fair way to put it?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what I'm saying in a fair way to put it. I think that we just need to be cautious of it. Not that it dictates the terms of engagement, meaning we overreact, or we respond in a way that exacerbates a problem that really doesn't exist. But I just think we should be mindful of that. And I think that was part of my takeaway from the Fed chairman's response. Yeah. About what the Fed is going to do relative to inflation. Hold it steady, no increases in interest rates, which means going into the third quarter of this year, we'll be fine. I think that's going to be important, particularly in the fall, you know, where mortgage interest rates are adjusted for the next year, loan interest rates are adjusted, that you're going to see that stabilize, and you won't see the impact in your mortgage payments, the impact on new loans that you may need to take out, et cetera. So that's going to be good for the economy. But I think we just need to be cautious
Understood.
About it.
So, Michael, we got less than a minute left. I cannot let you go. There are so many allegations that are coming out in this raft of new books about the Trump administration. I got to ask you, which one of them has been the most shocking to you?
None of them shocked me. You know what amazes me to this point, to this day, is why everyone is so shocked when they hear this stuff.
I know.
I mean... The Trump administration was a cesspool of corruption,
yeah.
Anchored by a guy who was unstable. And while no one wanted to say that, because you never want to think that the guy sitting at the Resolute desk in the Oval Office is mentally challenged, this guy, as we will see in more and more revelations, was a greater danger to this country than we ever could have imagined. So, yeah, I mean, the fact that he tried to, you know, get his FBI and his Justice Department to change the outcome of an election, the fact that, you know, he's sitting there going after Judge Kavanaugh, and
none of it's shocking. I agree, and we got to leave it there, unfortunately. These conversations always go by too quickly because there's so much more to talk about here, but we will get to do it again. Michael Steele, do catch him on MSNBC. Do catch his podcast, The Michael Steele Podcast. You'll find it at themichaelsteelenetwork.com. As always, my friend, lots of fun.
Thanks for downloading this Michael Steele Podcast Quick Take. Now, you can always find us on Apple Podcasts where, guess what? You can review us. You can give us 5 stars. Oh, yeah. I love the 5-star rating. Or you can catch us on iHeart, Stitcher, TuneIn, or wherever you get your podcasts. See you soon.
I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. I created the Sportsmanship Foundation to promote and educate parents and athletes about the role of good sportsmanship in our development. Learn more at winnersunlimited.com. That's winnersunlimited.com.
Everyone loses golf balls, even the pros. When you need golf balls, go to lostgolfballs.com, the world's largest inventory of used golf balls. All the top brands in stock, 50% off retail. lostgolfballs.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.